Saints, we're in all our campuses this morning, Stocksbridge, Sheffield, here in Chesterfield, and we just want to say a huge welcome if you're in any of those rooms for the very first time. So come on, church, why don't we do that? Huge welcome. And we come to this part of the service, you know, and this is a part of the service where we just tune in and we just lean into what God might want to say to us today in this moment. And we turn to his word and we open his word and we begin to discover what God says. And usually there's something that God wants to say to us in that moment. So come on, let's pray and let's believe for that right now. So Father, we thank you that we're together. We thank you that we're in your house. We get to worship you. We get to bring our offerings to you. We get to serve other people, Father God, through what we're doing today and through the life of the church. But in this moment, we just lean in and we say, speak, Lord. We are listening. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Why don't you high five three people as you take your seats? Well, it's so good to be back in Icon Church for me today. I've actually, for the first time in 36 years, missed three Sundays. I've not backslidden. I've been in other places, in other churches. And the first week I was on my own, I was with Juanito Johnson in Fuengirola. And mi mejor amigo, I was calling him... Mi mujer amigo, which means my woman friend. But I'm still learning Spanish. There you go. Mejor is best or first. Not first, best friend. So I was with him and then we flew to Portugal for a day, as you do, to meet another pastor who I want to invite to speak at Awaken in 2025. And that was great. And then I spent the rest of the week, a couple of days ill, but the rest of the week on my own. And then Jeannie came, she flew into Alicante, I drove up. And then we have two ground level churches in that region. And we spent time with them doing Sunday services, leadership meetings, long lunches, and then obviously we're back, and it's so great to be back. Church feels amazing this morning, and I hope that's true in Stocksbridge and Sheffield. I believe it is as well. Okay, I want to talk this morning about this, the spirit we have received from God. And we're in all campuses, and I've said, if you follow along on YouVersion, there is an event. You go to YouVersion, go to the three lines, look at events. Icon Church should be there. It should be live, and you can follow along. But today I want to talk from a little personal testimony and from one verse specifically. And the verse is this. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. And it says this. Just going to read it from this Bible. It says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. In the year 2000, I realized I need to change. Has anybody else had a moment in your life where you realize I need to change? Like the problem's not them, the problem's me. Anybody had that moment? I know in our world, the problem's somebody else. It's the government, it's somebody else. But has anybody had a moment where you realize I need to change? Well, I've had quite a few moments, but I'm just going to tell you about one. And this was in the year 2000. The reason I needed to change was because I was a negative person. I was a chronic melancholic. The glass was not half empty or half full because life was never that good. I mean, I was married to Jeannie. I mean, what? You can't have a better life than that. But I was, like, miserable. I was a pastor and leading the church. I believed God. I was reading his word. And I was a person of faith. And I felt like I was faith-filled. But another pastor said to me one day, do you ever wake up on a Sunday and think, this is going to be a bad day? And this was my answer. I never wake up on a Sunday and think this is going to be a good day. That was where I was in 2000. I believed the word, but I had a very damaging personality and a very damaging inner voice. And so I needed to change. I connected with some new friends. They weren't English, and some new pastors. And they sent to the opposite of me. They were positive, they were faith-filled, they were optimistic. They believed that they would overcome whatever setbacks they faced. They believed that they would take the world and really go forward. And I wanted to be more like that. Anybody else? And someone introduced me, actually, last week. I was speaking to a group of leaders, and they said, Paul is one of the most optimistic people I know. And I had to confess to them, I wasn't always like that. I wasn't like that in the year 2000. I needed to change. I needed to change my attitude. I needed to change my self-talk, that inner dialogue, that inner voice. And I needed to change that because self-talk, the inner voice, is the most powerful voice that we listen to in our life. It's the most powerful conversation we have, the conversation we have with ourselves. Right now, I'm talking to you at around 300 words a minute, but you are thinking at 1,200 words a minute. I can't compete with that. If your thoughts are saying, like, this is a load of rubbish, this is terrible, you know, it's all right for you, Paul. I mean, you're thinking four times as fast as I'm talking. So you are the most powerful preacher in the room. I may describe something today and you respond and say, that's me. This is for me. God is speaking to me. But before I've said anything else, inside of your heart, you may have said, but I can't change. God can't do it for me because you're thinking four times faster than I'm speaking. That's why when you listen to a podcast, put it on faster speed, you have less time to doubt it and think about it. I had to change. And thank God I did change. And I want to tell you my personal testimony today of how that change came about. You know, I didn't change my life. My life didn't change because I said to myself, I have to change. It didn't change because I said, God wants me to change. You know, doing that is like me saying to, you know, Gavin, you should pass an egg right now, Gav. And Gavin can crouch down and he can, but he'll never pass an egg. You know, he'll never do that unless he's got a party trick I don't know anything about. Maybe we'll find out. It's Christmas. How do you think? But change came when I decided two things. Firstly, who I was, but most importantly today, who I wasn't. Who I wasn't. Psychologists tell us that one of the most powerful tools in transforming our personal lives is deciding who we are not and declaring to ourselves, that's not me. That's not who I am. And that's what I had to begin to do and I began to do in my life. That's not me. This is not, and this was so true for me. I had to begin to tell myself who I wasn't. When I would wake up with worry, I would have to say, that's not true of me. I'm not a worrier. That's not who I am. When I would wake up in fear, or I would have fear, not always when I woke up, but when I would feel fear, that's not me. That's not who I am. When I would find myself in those melancholic states, anybody know what I mean? Those states of despondency, disappointed, downhearted. I have to say to myself, Paul, that's not who you are. That's not me. That's not who I am. And change began slowly over time to happen in my life when I challenged my inner voice and I challenged my inner thoughts. Some people never do this, and I understand it. And I understand that because it's just easy for us to believe, well, it's just me, it's who I am, it's my personality. And people, many people have said this to me, it's just who I am. And we know, don't we, that God loves us just the way we are. He couldn't love us anymore, loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. We can change, and God has more for us. The Apostle Paul calls this approach. He's the guy who wrote to Timothy those words, but he calls this approach pulling down strongholds. Let me read to you what he says. He says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ." That's what I was trying to do, and that's what I was doing. But not just pulling down a stronghold and saying, "That's not me, that's not who I am," but replacing that with the truth of God's word, the truth of what God says, who I am. So I would say, "That's not me, I'm faith-filled. I'm full of faith. I didn't feel full of faith, but I would begin to declare over my life, I'm a faith-filled person. That's not me. I'm a child of God. Sometimes I would think I'm just not worthy. I just don't deserve anything." And sometimes we have no idea where those thoughts come from. But I would say, "That's not me. I'm a child of God. He decided I was worth something. In fact, he decided I was worth dying on the cross for. I'm a child of God." Sometimes I would think I'm powerless. I can't do anything. Like, I've got no strength. I've got no wisdom. I've got no skill. I've got no strategy, thoughts. But I would say, "That's not me. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that I'm able. I'm an overcomer. The Bible says I'm more than a conqueror." Sometimes I would think, I would doubt myself. I'd say, "Why are you trying to lead a church? Why are you trying to do that? Why don't you do something else with your life?" And then I would have to speak to myself, "No, I'm called. I'm anointed. God has done something in my life." I would have to say to myself, "Greater is he that's in me than the one who is in the world." Louis Giglio, who's a great pastor and speaker, said this: "You bind the thought, or the thought binds you." Back to our text, because this is exactly what Paul is teaching in that one verse. "For the Spirit of God gave us," he says, "does not make us timid." In another translation, it says this: "God did not give us a spirit of fear." That first step is deciding, is this from God or isn't it? Is recognizing that God did not give. There's some things in your life, there's some things you think, that some things you say, believe it or not, did not come from God. There's some things you think about yourself, believe it or not, it didn't come from God. It came from somewhere else. Paul's teaching that here. God did not give. And so you and I have to decide and declare certain things, that's not from God. That's not God. We have to have this conviction. That's not God. And we have to tell ourselves over and over. And, you know, this doesn't just apply to what we think of ourselves, the inner narrative and the inner voice and our own thoughts. But this also applies to people today who've been told things by others, that other people have said things in our lives and over our life. Maybe some significant people in our life have done nothing but criticize you or condemn you. Maybe there's significant people in your life who have opposed you, who have spoken down to you all the time. And some of those words have stuck. And one thing we know, no one can thrive and flourish under constant disapproval. A child cannot thrive under constant disapproval, but neither can an adult. Neither can somebody in employment. You know, if you've got a boss that's always telling you rubbish, you can't do anything, etc., start looking for another job. Because they will never get the best out of you, because you cannot thrive under constant disapproval. So it's not just what we think internally, it's what sometimes is said to us. And some of that stuff sticks. Even though we say sticks and stones may break my bones, but calling names won't hurt me. But it does, doesn't it? It does. So I didn't just say this to myself, "This is not who I am, this is not me." I declared over and over, "This is not from God. Therefore, this is not who I am. I am who you say I am." I think somebody should write a song with that line in it, don't you? Or maybe somebody in Stocksbridge, you know, got a gift of, I am who you say I am. Try it. We need to declare, God didn't give this to me. That's what Paul says to Timothy. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. So when you feel afraid, tell yourself, God didn't give that to me. This is not from God. This is not from God. When you're in despair, tell yourself, this despair is not from God. There are other things that God didn't give you. A spirit of gossip. God didn't give that to you either. When you find yourself tempted to run other people down or talk to other people, do that. You're thinking four times as fast as you speak. So do that quick thinking and say, this isn't from God. I'm not going there. You'll be tempted. We're all tempted, but I'm not going there. That critical spirit, that didn't come from God. These are not kingdom traits. If you had to do an exercise right now and fill in the blank, what would be the first thing you put in there? This in my life is not from God. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. I'm speaking to loads of people today, but I believe that today can be the start of a real change, of real transformation, of something powerful in your life. As I said earlier, people tell me now if I tell this story, I tell my testimony, people say, I can't believe you were ever like that. I can't believe you were ever negative. I can't believe you were ever fearful or timid. And I still get negative. I still get fearful and timid, but I don't live like that. But the truth is I was. And the truth is Timothy was. And so Paul had to write to him. And Paul had to write to Timothy and say, that's not you. That's not who God has called you to be. You see, Timothy was afraid in this moment. He had a spirit of fear. He was afraid of persecution. I understand that. I can understand that, afraid of persecution. You know, if suddenly we were in a situation where if to be a Christian, if you were to declare that you're a Christian publicly, you could face persecution, whatever that persecution looked like. I can understand the fear of that, can't you? He was disappointed because Paul, his teacher, his mentor, kept being arrested. I mean, Paul wasn't just arrested once, but he kept being arrested for preaching the gospel. I mean, imagine over these, I've not been in church, Icon Church, for the last 3 weeks, but imagine if on week one you think, oh, Paul's not here, but then week two, you ask somebody and you say, where's Paul? Is he in Spain? No, he's not in Spain. He's been arrested. Now, I know what some of you tinkers will think. You're thinking, I knew there was something wrong with him. Like it's the heathens have put me in prison for preaching the gospel, and you think I'm in the wrong. The heathens have put me in prison because I've stood up and said, you know what? I just happen to believe the Bible. I believe what Jesus taught. I actually believe what Christians have believed for 2,000 years. I believe the Bible, and I get put in prison for it. And people are saying, I'm in the wrong. That's what was happening with Paul. And Timothy was disheartened because Paul kept being arrested. And he was disheartened because people kept leaving Paul because of his troubles. People kept just deserting him. In fact, in a few verses in this chapter, Paul will say, everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. He's slightly exaggerating, but he's giving the idea, and he's telling the story that actually loads of people, they're just going, they're just leaving, they're just moving on because of his imprisonments. In fact, he starts naming a few people. Starts naming and sharing. I mean, Paul does a few things, actually, that you could not do today. Like in Corinthians, he says, oh, by the way, church, I'm a wise master builder. I'm a master builder. Can you imagine if a pastor did that today? I'm a master builder. But Paul did it. And here he starts naming people. He said, I'm naming this person. They've left me. These are people you'd think would never desert him. That person's left me. They've gone. they've gone, that person's gone. And Timothy was disappointed and downhearted. He was depressed. Timothy faced personal sickness that just kept recurring. There's nothing sometimes more debilitating than sickness you don't overcome. Isn't that true? In your life, it kept recurring. In fact, Paul had to instruct him, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. You need to get some medicine for that. Timothy felt insecure. He was uncertain how to lead. And so in the previous verse to the one we've read today, Paul says this to him, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. And that's what I'm doing to you today. I'm saying fan the flame, fan the gift of God that's in you. Because you might have that inner voice. You might have that inner dialogue. You might have had that external stuff happen to you. You might have had people, and you still might have people in your world, and all they do is criticize you, belittle you, put you down. But that's not all that's going on in your life. You've also got the gift of God inside of you. You've also got the flame of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so we're fanning into flame the gift of God. You see, that's not the spirit you have received from God. And Paul is saying, fan into flame the spirit you have received. First, be ruthless to identify and pull down what's not of God, and then fan into flame. Fan into flame what is from God. And as I close, I'm closing. Three things Paul says you've received from God. Here's the first. You've received the spirit of power. This is the same word in the book of Acts that Jesus says to the disciples when he's about to ascend to heaven. He says, you will receive power. Dunamis is the Greek word. Power. Dynamite. You will receive dynamite. You will be a dynamo because of the Holy Spirit. Dunamis, it means might, strength, ability, efficacy, energy, meaning and purpose. I had to look up the word efficacy. And it means the ability to produce a desired result. Remember, when you feel powerless, you have received the spirit of power. Yes. You have received. Remember, when you think, I'm not sure what I can produce, I'm not sure what I can do, you have got the efficacy of the Holy Spirit within you. You might have a whole load of stuff going on in your life, a whole load of internal conversation, external people putting you down, but you have received the spirit from God, who is the spirit of power, in Jesus' name. God has not given us a spirit of fear. There's a lot of stuff in our world we could get frightened about. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power. Of power. The gospel is still going to go forward. The church is still going to thrive and move ahead. We've received a spirit of power. You know, I've been with some leaders recently, some churches recently, and they're so concerned. They're so worried about world events. I tell you what I'm worried about. I'm worried about fanning into flame the spirit of God that's within me, that's the spirit of power today. We've received it, and so we can overcome. We can serve others. We can live in freedom. I read a story this week of a lady who had been bound by drug addiction for many years. And she came to a meeting like this. And at the end of the service, when the speaker asked if anybody wanted to respond, she came forward with a bag. And she had this black bag and she threw it onto the stage. And the speaker stepped back and said, "What's in the bag?" And she said, "It's all my drugs. I've been bound by drugs for many years. It's all my gear. Tonight, I believe that I can be set free through the power of the Holy Spirit." That lady was set free there and then. She's still free today and following Jesus. What do you and I need power for today? You've received the spirit of power. Do you need the power to forgive? You've received that spirit. Stop telling yourself you can't do it. Stop saying it's too hard. No, there's a spirit in you that is powerful enough to forgive. The power to trust, I'm too afraid. I didn't do this. I didn't trust God with this area of my life. I didn't trust God. No, stop. Stop that. Because there's a spirit in you that says, I can trust God. Yeah. It feels like walking on water. That's what it feels like, but I can trust God. The power to be faithful, the power to confess, the power to serve, the power to give, the power of generosity, the power to trust. I love the fact of what our church is doing across all our campuses with these toys. And you know, so many children are going to receive toys this Christmas, children who are in difficult situations and different needs. I also love what we do with acts of kindness in terms of food. And a couple of our campuses are involved in that because we have received a spirit of power. Dunamis, dynamite. The second thing is, you have not received. It didn't come from God, that spirit of fear, Timothy. But you have received a spirit of power and you have received a spirit of love. And this word is agape. And it means sacrificial love. It's the love of others. It's the love that lays down your life in some way for others. We know in the Greek language there are many different words for love. All kinds of love. Brotherly love, friendly love, erotic love, sacrificial love. Jeannie gets all of them from me. You can only get agape, sorry. But this word wasn't commonly used until the Christians began to use it all the time. They began to use it because it was the only way they could describe God's love for us. That it was sacrificial, that he was willing to give his best for us. And then they thought it's the only way that we can describe how we now serve others because of that love. It's the only suitable way to explain the kind of love we have for others. Well, Jesus describes this love when he's asked a question. He's asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? Because the Jews loved to ask questions. They liked tables, league tables. They liked they liked polls on their Instagram kind of stuff. They loved it. They loved it. And so I should have had that picture of you in your chav gear yesterday and that poll. 97% of people said they wanted Jeannie to dress like that. So the Jews loved these lists, like Messi or Ronaldo. Messi or Ronaldo. So messy down here. I was in Fuengirola. It was all Ronaldo. What do they know? Like they love this. Who's gonna win the Premier League? That's controversial. Who's the greatest tennis player ever? Oh, I've got to mention a few names. Borg, McEnroe, Sampras, Federer, Nadal. It is Djokovic. Who said Djokovic? So they wanted another poll. Sorry, get back to the message. They wanted a poll. What's the greatest commandment? And it says, Jesus said, love the Lord your God, Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. This is Jesus answering the question, how do we love others? Because we have been given the power to love others. But in these verses, we see who the others are that we should love. And the first other is Jesus. Love the Lord your God. That's the first other. Maybe you've never thought about this, but the love of others begins with the love for God. I want to suggest to you that if it doesn't start here, the love of self will always rise to the top. It will always trump everything else, the love of self. I want to suggest that Jesus says that we are to love God first and we're to love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And then we love our neighbors as ourselves. We serve others. And I've already mentioned acts of kindness, food, toys. I'm serving in God's house. We serve other people. We're doing that today. We're serving people. Jesus loved us, sacrificially loved us, consecrated himself to us. Now we do the same to him. We love him, we serve him, and we love others. Because love is powerful. Do you know we need to know today how much we are loved? We do need to know that to do today. Do you know how much you are loved by God? 1 John 4 and verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. When you know how much God loves you, that'll kick the fear out of your life. That'll kick the fear out of your life. I feel like I'm doing it in the spirit right now, kicking the fear out of your life because God loves you. God loves you. He could not love you any more than he loves you. And maybe today, knowing how much God loves you can be destructive to your self-talk. It can be destructive to the words that have been spoken over you. And finally, and the band are coming back, you have received the spirit of self-discipline. You received not the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. To live in a way, a disciplined manner, as a result of these truths. Discipline is not about perfection. It's just about rhythm. It's about continuity. It's about habits that bring harvests in our lives. Some changes can be instant. Remember the story of the lady? She was delivered from that addiction instantly. But most changes in our lives actually take a process, as my testimony that I've shared today did. And it requires self-discipline. It requires saying over and over again, that's not me. I'm a child of God. That's not who I am. I'm full of faith. It requires following the plan, living in the process. Jean has been going to the gym about 4 times a week now since February. And this morning, she put her boots on, her winter boots, and she said, oh, they went on a lot easier. Now, how many of you know that didn't happen after week one at the gym? It was a process. So if you want to get your boots on better, you see that it's important that we submit to the process. Sometimes we come for prayer, don't we? And it's good to come for prayer. And there'll be people here today who'll be willing to pray for you. If you need prayer, you just want to respond today and say, I'd like to get prayer today. I want to tell you, don't hesitate. Come forward in our services. Come and speak to campus pastors. Come and get prayer today if you need prayer. But sometimes we come forward for prayer and we think, well, nothing changed. Nothing changed. I want to tell you that change can come, even when it's not instant. It can come through a plan, through a process. But there's something more important than getting your boots on easier. It's having a healthy soul. And I want to tell you today, and you may remember this message, God has a plan. The plan works. Work the plan. James Clear said this, we want solutions, but what we really need are attitudes. You don't need abs. Abs. Apparently I've got them. You just can't find them. You don't need abs. But you need an attitude of training. You don't need the answer, but you need an attitude of curiosity. I love this, don't you? You don't need an easier life. You need an attitude of perseverance. Attitude precedes outcome. We say it like this in Icon Church. Rhythm is more powerful than encounter, but an encounter has the power to change the rhythm. And here's another way. I've said it already. Here's another way. I think we'll start saying it. In Icon Church, habit becomes harvest. That's nice, isn't it? I nicked it, but I'm not going to tell you I nicked it. Oh, I just have. Habit becomes harvest. Come on, let's stand. We're going to pray. Maybe you need an encounter today to change your rhythm. As we worship this morning, come forward. There'll be people in our services who are willing to pray for you. Or if you're in Stocksbridge or you're in Sheffield, speak to campus pastor there. There'll be people willing to pray for you, because maybe you need an encounter just to shift something, just to kick some fear out, because perfect love moves fear. Maybe today it's all about an decision to identify that's not from God. That's not from God, and stick with that decision. Maybe as I've been speaking, you've been thinking, you know, I have this stuff's been said to me, this stuff happens to me. I just need to declare, and I need to know today that's not from God. Maybe that's your response to this message, decision. Maybe you need to know today that you are perfectly loved, totally loved, and perfect love can drive out fear. God loved you so much, He went to the cross. And Paul says to Timothy, it's a spirit we've received. And the Spirit is the Holy Spirit that we've received. And it's the Holy Spirit who's here right now. In this place, in our Stocksbridge campus, in our Sheffield campus, it's the Holy Spirit who's with each and every one of us that has given to us power, love, and self-discipline. And so I'm going to pray for us right now. Then we're going to worship. We're going to worship God together. And if you need prayer, you can come forward during the worship, or you can come forward after the service. But get prayer today. I encourage you to do that. But before I pray, let's just bow our head, close our eyes. I want to ask, is there anyone in any of our rooms? Maybe you're in Stocksbridge today. Maybe you're in Sheffield today. I'm so glad you're in church today, Icon Church, or maybe you're here in Chesterfield and you have never made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe that's your step today. Maybe that's your response. For the first time, you're saying, Jesus, I want to say yes to you. I want to invite you into my life. I want to give you my life. If that's you today, in a few moments, a few seconds, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand while every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Because I'd love to include you in the prayer that I'm going to pray over us all today. Because I'm going to pray that we will be filled with a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline, that we will know that we have received the Holy Spirit. And you can only receive the Holy Spirit if you've said yes to Jesus. So come on right now, if you're in Stocksbridge or Sheffield and you have never made a decision to follow Jesus, or you made that decision once but you've drifted away, but today's the day for you to come back. I wonder, would you raise your hand? Just lift it high. Here in Chesterfield, in Stocksbridge, in Sheffield, lift your hand right now, because we're going to pray for you. Going to celebrate with you. Lord, we thank you for every person making a decision to follow you across this weekend. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, before we pray, let's celebrate all those people making that decision. Let's pray. Come on. Father, I pray today. I thank you that you have not given to us a spirit of fear. You have not given to us a spirit of timidity, but you have given to us the Holy Spirit, who's the spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. And today we brush off the inner voice, we brush off the inner thoughts that would keep us held, limited, fearful, worrying, anxious in our lives. And we receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who is from God, who gives life and life more abundantly. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, we make a decision that there are certain things in our lives and they're just not from God. And so we refuse to entertain them anymore. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you, church. There's nothing you can do about it. Have a great week.